Good evening and welcome to all who are present. Looking out in the audience, everyone who is here is familiar, so glad to have you here and always grateful to share with you a portion of God's Word. Let's go ahead and continue with our study that we are going to be engaged in this evening. This is the fourth Sunday night of the month, which means this year we have been dealing with the subject of evangelism, which is a term that is based upon a Greek word in the New Testament, which means the gospel. It's the Greek word from which the gospel is derived and so on. And we've been dealing with that on the fourth Sunday of each month with the hopes that it will perhaps give us the strength and courage that we need and give us some of the tools that we need to help us to be more effective in trying to seek and to reach the lost. The songs that we sang this evening, I want to thank Mark for those. They very much go along with this. If you think about this, the first song talks about reviving us again. Sometimes that's what we need to pray to God to do when we are not as strong as we ought to be in some given area of our lives. And then we talked about, did you think to pray? Of course, this evening we're going to be talking about, as I announced this morning, prayer. And of course, that is the theme that we have been dealing with on Sunday mornings this month as we talk about going on to perfection. And then, of course, this last song, I Want to Be a Worker for the Lord, is dealing with reaching the lost and doing what God would have us to do, including reaching the lost, I guess would be the way to actually say that. So tying those things together, they all go along with the lesson at hand. And as I just finished mentioning here, this lesson has two purposes. It's tied to dealing with the subject of prayer, as we have been addressing all month on Sunday mornings. And I want to make this observation. I briefly mentioned this in the lesson this morning, but I was pointing out that we need to be praying regularly, and there's a lot of things that we can be praying for, both physical and spiritual needs. And this evening's lesson is going to be an example of the degree to which we can go to God in prayer in a given area. Remember this morning we suggested or mentioned seven areas, and that was by no means an exclusive list, you know, a different area each day of the week. Perhaps that you pray about certain things. I could do a lesson similar to the one that I'm doing this evening on each one of those areas. There's so much to pray about, and that is the point. And prayer helps us. It makes us what God would have us to be. So keep that in mind, and also consider that as we strive to reach the lost, the importance of prayer. Because we certainly need prayer to be pleasing to God. It is extremely important that we understand that God expects us to pray. We find there in James 5 and verse number 16 that we are to pray for one another, and the effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man accomplishes much. In 1 Thessalonians 5:17, which we have been mentioning all throughout this study on prayer, it says simply, pray without ceasing. Or as I said, a good description of that is, do not abandon prayer. When it comes to opportunities to reach the lost, don't leave prayer out. As I was preparing this lesson this morning, there was an interesting passage that I came across and that another preacher observed. And it is found in 1 Samuel chapter 12 and in verse number 23. Now, this is the occasion with Israel where they have demanded a king. And, of course, God did not want them to have a king, but they demanded it, and God told Samuel, go ahead and let them do it and anoint a king. And, of course, King Saul is anointed, and we know that he was a failure spiritually. You know, he was definitely a spiritual failure and such. And when Samuel begins to basically tell him, this is what's going to happen, the people say, you know what, never mind. and Samuel, no, you're going to have a king. It's going to be okay. And if you obey God, everything will be fine. And then he makes this statement here. Moreover, as for me, far be it from me that I should sin against the Lord in ceasing to pray for you. But I will teach you the good and the right way. That's an interesting statement where he makes the point, if I don't pray for you, I will be sinning. Is there something for us to think about when we consider the number of passages in the New Testament that commands us to pray? And if we've noted on numerous occasions, you can sin by doing what you shouldn't do, but you can also sin by not doing what you ought to do. As the book of James says, therefore to him who knows to do good and does not do it, to him it is sin. We're commanded to pray. The question is, how do we pray? And so on. And as I've noted on numerous occasions throughout our studies, that God hasn't specified when to do it, or He hasn't given a specific length of time. It's just indicated it ought to be done regularly. And our prayers to God need to include reaching the lost. Turn over to Colossians chapter 4, verses 2 through 4, and this is a passage that we are going to be referencing a couple of times, two or three times, as we go through this particular lesson. There's actually a couple of passages that are like that as we go through here. But in Colossians chapter 4, verses 2 through 4, Paul says this to these brethren. He says, continue earnestly in prayer, being vigilant in it with thanksgiving. Meanwhile, praying also for us that God would open to us a door for the Word to speak the mystery of Christ, from which I am also in chains, that I may make it manifest as I ought to speak. And he goes on and he says there, walk in wisdom toward those who are outside, redeeming the time. Let your speech always be with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer each one. And those verses will tie into our lesson a little later on this evening. But notice how here Paul tells these brethren to continue earnestly in prayer, being vigilant in it. And among the things you need to be praying for is opportunities, open doors. So you have here an example of where Paul says, let's pray for reaching the lost. We'll talk more about what he said to pray for as we go on in this lesson. There are numerous elements associated with reaching the lost for which we can and ought to be praying. And that's what we are going to focus on in our lesson this evening. The first thing that we want to note in our prayers to God concerning reaching the lost is the furtherance of the kingdom of God. And this goes along with what we've talked about previously about your will be done. When we pray to God, it's about His will. It's about what He wants. Your kingdom come. You know, it's interesting in Matthew chapter 6 and verse number 5, the reason we should not be just randomly quoting this prayer as some kind of a ritual is there something to be said about this particular statement here. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. As I study the Scriptures, the kingdom of God has already come. So that needs to be acknowledged. As Jesus was teaching them to pray, the kingdom was not there yet. But it is now here. You read in Colossians chapter 1 and verse 13 that God has translated or conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of His love. We are in the kingdom. Those who belong to Him are in the kingdom. But I will tell you this. We could, if you will, modify that a little bit. And we could pray for the furtherance of His kingdom. That the borders of His kingdom be extended to include those whom we have opportunity to teach. You go on down in that chapter where Paul talks about how the gospel had been preached to every creature under heaven there in Colossians chapter 1 and in verse number 23. So while the kingdom is in existence, we don't pray for it to be in existence because it's here, but we can pray for it to be developed even further. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verses 1 and 2, Paul there says, finally, brethren, 2 Thessalonians 3, 1 and 2, pray for us that the word of the Lord may run swiftly and be glorified just as it is with you, and that we may be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men, for not all have faith. Notice how he says in this text here that you pray for us that the word of the Lord may run swiftly and be glorified. That's God's word being proclaimed. That's furthering the borders
of the kingdom of God. And we want His Word to be able to be proclaimed to others. So one of the things that we pray for is that God's kingdom will be glorified. Here's a thought. You know, is it God's will for the lost to come to Him? As we pray about this, it serves as a reminder that we have a responsibility to be trying to bring the lost into His kingdom. And I will tell you right now that the fields are ripe. There are people that are searching now. This country is messed up. This country has lost its spiritual soul. And while there is more and more ungodliness abounding around us, there's also more and more people that are seeing where that ungodliness is leading. And they're looking. I'm reading about churches where congregations have set up a booth at the fair. One congregation, one preacher established about 80 studies. Or at least 80 people signed up for studies. He had his first baptism, and this is just a couple of weeks ago. He had his first baptism just a couple of days ago as a result of a study with one of the people from that. So they're out there. They're looking. And people are signing up, and people want to study the Bible and want to learn because of everything that is going on. Whether or not this is the very, very last of the days, you know, if you listen to certain false teachers, that's what I think they are. The world's supposed to end tonight, right? Or something similar to that. There's supposed to be something cataclysmic that's supposed to happen between 7 and 8 p.m. tonight. So just, we'll see if the false teacher is a false teacher in just a little while. But the point is people are concerned. And so we pray for the furtherance of the kingdom. Something else that we can pray for in reaching the lost is our forgiveness as needed. And you might ask, what does that have to do with reaching the lost? Well, simply, how are you going to be able to reach the lost if you're in a lost condition yourself? If you're living a life of sin, if you're living a life of rebellion to God, how can you pray to God to send you or to use you to reach the lost? How can you be useful in reaching others if you refuse to obey God yourself? In Romans 12, verses 1 and 2, we're told there that we are to be a living sacrifice, not conformed to this world, but transformed by the renewing of our mind. In 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 15 and 16, Peter there says, in those verses, he says, as He who called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct. Because it is written, be holy for I am holy. Following the example of God, we need to pursue holiness in our lives. In chapter 3 and in verse number 12 of 1 Peter, we read there, for the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and His ears are open to their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. If you want the Lord's church to grow, if you want this congregation to grow, if you want to have opportunity to reach others, and you ask God for that to happen, and you go to God in prayer about that, are you going to do your part? Are you going to make yourself right first? Because that needs to be in place if that is to happen. You read there in 1 John 3, 21 and 22 about He hears us because we keep His commandments. So, where forgiveness of sins is needed, we need to repent of those sins. As Peter told Simon in Acts chapter 8 and verse number 22, repent, that the thought of your heart be forgiven you. And in verse number 24, Simon asks Peter, pray for me, that these things will not happen to me. In 1 John chapter 1 and in verse number 9, you read there about if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us of all unrighteousness. We need to confess our sins when we have sin in our lives, and so that we can be pleasing to Him. You go back to James 5:16 again. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man accomplishes much. A righteous man is the one that can go to God and pray. So if we're going to pray concerning reaching the lost, it needs to begin with us setting our own house in order first. Well, another thing that we might pray for as we think about these things is for opportunities. For God to, if you will, use us to reach the lost. And I realize that when I say that, I'm not talking about in some, again, as I've mentioned in our prayers, the days of miracles are over. So I'm not talking about some kind of taking us over or something like that. But we need to be available. You know, I'm reminded of Isaiah where Isaiah said to the Lord, "Here am I, send me." In Isaiah chapter 6. He was willing to go. He was willing to go where he was summoned. You find that opportunities are according to his will. In Philippians chapter 2, verses 12 and 13. Philippians chapter 2, verses 12 and 13. You read there in that text, "Therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you both to will and to do for His good pleasure." God is working in us according to His will. You know, we sometimes, in quoting Romans, I think it's Romans 8, whatever, "all things work together for good to those who have been called according to His purpose." That is actually a misused passage in so much of the religious world today. They basically say that says God's going to give you what is best for you. That's not really the context. The context is all things are going to work together for good according to His purpose. It's about His will. It's about His will being accomplished. And all things will work to good or for good toward those things. And we need to be praying toward that end. And as we think about these things, it reminds us of our responsibility to work. It reminds us of our responsibility to develop whatever abilities we have. You can go over to Matthew chapter 25, verses 14 through 30. And you read there the parable of the talents where the master calls his three servants together and according to their abilities, he gives them talents to take care of while he is gone. Two of the three were faithful and they were successful in increasing, doubling that which they had been given. But the one wicked, lazy servant, the one who really of the three had the least amount of ability, but he had ability. He had ability. But he buried it. He buried his talent. And he was condemned as a result of it. We need to develop our talents. And I believe that we can go to God in prayer asking Him to help us develop our abilities to become what God would have us to be. And in many instances, that means developing more ability than we have right now. As I've noted on numerous occasions, how many people are content to be a one talent or a two talent man when they actually have the ability to be a three talent or a four talent servant or that five talent one? Let us pray to God that He will help us to be all that we ought to be. And when we talk about opportunities, as we read a little bit earlier here, is opening doors. Going back to Colossians chapter 4, verses 2 through 4 there, where Paul says to continue earnestly in prayer, he says in verse 3, "Praying also for us that God would open to us a door for the Word to speak the mystery of Christ." The idea of opening a door, and that expression is used a handful of times in the New Testament, it means opportunity. It means that Paul or someone else had an opportunity to teach somebody about God or about Jesus Christ, to preach the gospel. And that's what the open door is. And the idea of an open door is it's an invitation to walk through it. And Paul said to pray, he told these brethren to pray that he would have opportunities. Similarly, where we are concerned, we can pray for opportunities. In John chapter 4 and in verse number 35. John chapter 4 and in verse number 35. Jesus, speaking to his disciples, says to them, he says, Do you not say there are still 4 months and then comes the harvest? Behold, I say to you, lift up your eyes and look at the fields, for they are already white unto harvest. Open your eyes. That's the same thing as opportunity. That's the same thing as looking for an open door. Keep your eyes open for the door to walk through. And incidentally, that's your part. You know, when you talk about going to God, praying for opportunities, for doors to open, your responsibility is to look for those doors. You know, I'm not very alert sometimes. I mean, I sometimes I say I'm so poor I can't pay attention, but it's not about the poor. It's just I don't pay attention like I should sometimes. And you miss opportunities when you don't pay attention. We have to learn to pay attention and look for those open doors. And pray to God for open doors. Well, something else that we can pray for is wisdom. There's an interesting passage in the Proverbs. Proverbs 11 and in verse 30. Proverbs 11 and verse number 30. Solomon there says, "The fruit of the righteous is a tree of life. And he who wins souls is wise." We need wisdom to reach the lost in a number of different ways. And are we told that we can pray for wisdom? Turn over to James chapter 1 and let us remind ourselves what the Scriptures say there. James chapter 1 verses 4 and 5. James there says, "But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. But let him ask in faith with no doubting, for he who doubts is like a wave of the sea, driven and tossed by the wind." Notice he says there primarily in verse number 5, if any of you lacks wisdom, ask of God. Ask God to give you wisdom. Now, I will remind you here that he did not say ask for knowledge. It says, ask for wisdom. You got to have the knowledge. Wisdom's about applying the knowledge properly. And I will tell you right now, when it comes to reaching the lost, we need to use wisdom. We need to use a little bit of common sense at time as we are trying to reach the lost. Going again back there to Colossians chapter 4, verses 4 through 6 there. As Paul is speaking there, he makes a request of prayers for the open doors, and he gives the following instructions, "that I may make it manifest as I ought to speak." That's verse number 4. This is Paul speaking here. I want you to think about that. This is Paul who preached from city to city to city. He was what we would call an expert. He was one of those that could go and talk to people very effectively. But even he asks that the brethren pray for him that he might be able to speak as he ought to speak. And then he goes on, and we read these verses a little earlier, "walk in wisdom toward those who are outside." Who's those who are outside? Those that are not Christians. Those that we are trying to influence. Be wise in dealing with them, in trying to teach them, and as you deal with them, redeeming the time, "let your speech always be with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer each one." That's wisdom, friends. That's using wisdom. Speech seasoned with salt so that you properly answer is wisdom. Pray to God for wisdom with our open doors. Then you have Colossians chapter 1, verses 9 and 10. Colossians chapter 1, verses 9 and 10. Paul says there a little bit earlier, he goes on and says, "For this reason we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to ask that you be filled with the knowledge of His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding." Paul is praying for these brethren that they be filled with wisdom and spiritual understanding, "that you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing Him, being fruitful in every good work, increasing in the knowledge of God. Notice that, fruitful in every good work. Let me ask you, would reaching the lost be included in being fruitful in every good work? Is that a good work that we ought to be engaged in? Pray to God for wisdom as you try to reach the lost. Something else that we ought to be praying for is to be a proper example. It is emphasized in Scripture that we need to be an example. Jesus, in the Sermon on the Mount, talks about how you are the salt of the earth. And then He talks about how in verses 14 through 16, you are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. In verse 16, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. You let your light shine. We have to be a proper example. In Philippians 2, verses 14 through 16, he talks about among whom you shine as lights in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, holding forth the word of life. We shine as lights in a crooked and perverse generation. Is it important that we be a proper example? Absolutely. Is it appropriate to go to God and ask Him to help us understand that we need to be a proper example? And to develop, to be the example that He would have us to be in those particular areas. You know, I'm reminded of Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 19 through 23. 1 Corinthians 9, verses 19 through 23. Paul there says, "For though I am free from all men, I have made myself a servant to all, that I might win the more. And to the Jews I became as a Jew, that I might win the Jews. And to those who are under the law, as under the law, that I might win those who are under the law. To those who are without law, not being without law toward God, but under law toward God." And he emphasizes that. I'm not saying I'm lawless. But anyways, he makes the point, to those who are without law, that I might win those who are without law. And I think he's talking about the Gentiles there. "To the weak I became as weak, that I might win the weak. I have become all things to all men, that I might by all means save some. Now this I do for the gospel's sake, that I may be partakers of it with you." Paul became all things to all men. Let me ask you, does that take wisdom? Does that take learning what other men are? And does that take the idea of learning to be a proper example when you are around others? As I said, this is an application of what it means to actually pray for wisdom. We need to be a proper example. Ask God to help you learn to be the example that you ought to be. And use wisdom as you are dealing with others. Well, something else that we can pray for is courage and boldness. Again, when you turn to the Scriptures, you find it is emphasized that we cannot be ashamed of the gospel. Romans 1, verse 16. Paul, "I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It is the power of God unto salvation." Matthew 10, 32 and 33. "Whoever confesses me before men, I will confess before my Father who is in heaven. Whoever denies me before men, him I will also deny before my Father who is in heaven." We need to be able we need to be willing to confess Jesus Christ as the Son of God. And those texts are not just dealing with when you're in your closet, as we talked about this morning. This is talking about openly. This is talking about courageously and boldly when you are facing difficult circumstances. When confessing Jesus Christ might come with a price. Are you willing to confess Him then? Well, we need boldness. Turn over to 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and in verse number 3, where Paul tells the brethren here, 1 Corinthians 2 and in verse number 3, he says, "I was with you in weakness, in fear, and in much trembling." And he goes on, "And my preaching was not persuasive word of human wisdom, but in the demonstration of the Spirit of power of God, But he talked about, even I dealt with fear and trembling. There was times when Paul had these emotions. Even Paul had these. In Ephesians chapter 6, verses 18 through 20, where Paul describes this, what we sometimes call the gospel armor, and you put on the various pieces that he related to what a soldier would wear in the Roman army. The last thing he says there in verse number 18, the last piece of equipment that you need to put on is the communication. And he says you need to be praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. And for me, that utterance may be given to me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. And again, I remind you, this is Paul. Look at the history of Paul. Look at everything he's gone through. Look at everything he's endured and everything he's done. And he's still asking brethren to pray for him for boldness and for courage. Find the same thing in Acts chapter 4, verses 29 through 31, where you find that Peter and John have been released from prison, released from the council in Jerusalem, threatened to quit preaching Jesus, and they go and they speak to their brethren. And you find there in verses 29 through 31 of that text, it says there that as they prayed, "Now, Lord, look on their threats." And this is the brethren praying. "Look on their threats and grant to your servants that with all boldness they may speak your word by stretching out your hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done through the name of your holy servant Jesus." And when they had prayed, the place where they were assembled together was shaken, and they were filled with the Holy Spirit, and they spoke the word of God with boldness. They prayed for boldness, and God gave them boldness. And you go over to chapter 5, verses 41 and 42, and you find Peter and John, they're back in the temple again. They're back in the temple, they're preaching, and they're teaching the word of God. They didn't quit. They had boldness and courage. One of the greatest challenges that we face in reaching the lost is we're afraid of the rejection. We're just fearful that things aren't going to work out, that something's going to backfire. What do I say? Pray to God to give you the courage to say what needs to be said. To say something to somebody. It's an example. Something else that we need to pray for is a proper attitude toward the lost. And again, in Colossians chapter 4, verses 5 and 6, Paul there talks about walking in wisdom toward those who are outside. And I want you to understand that wisdom is not just about what you say. Wisdom is also about making decisions about who you're going to talk to. About the lost. And one of the things that we need to be very careful about, extremely careful about, we need to be careful not to prejudge who is worthy of being taught. That's a real danger with us. That gets in the way. You know, we look at people and we decide because what this person looks like, or what he is saying, or what he's doing, oh, he's not a good candidate, if you will. He won't listen. How do you know that? You know what? You may be right. You probably are right. But not always. And you don't know until you try. Some of the most advent, or some of the strongest, whatever the word is there, some of the strongest apologists for the Bible and for God started out as atheists. And somebody took the time to teach them. They also did some investigating and so on. But the point is you see an atheist, you must, he doesn't care. How do you know? Maybe he hasn't heard the argument. You can say the same thing about Muslims. You know, we think that Muslims don't care, but I will tell you right now, one of the best things you can do, if you have opportunity to teach a Muslim, is show him that the God of the Bible loves you. Because that's totally different from the God of Islam. And they're not used to a God that cares about them. But that's an example. Using wisdom. And don't just prejudge somebody ahead of time. We need to be convicted to try and reach the lost. Like Paul said in 2 Corinthians 5, 10 and 11, where he talks about we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. And then in verse 11 he says, knowing the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. We need to have a proper attitude to be willing to try to teach somebody. And that involves courage and boldness. Well, something else we need to pray for is fellow workers in evangelism, in reaching the lost. There are people all over the world, gospel preachers, and there are men and women who are preaching the gospel. And we need to pray for those who are teaching in places, various places. In Luke chapter 10, and in verse number 2, as Jesus is sending out the 70, He says, pray the Lord of harvest to send out laborers. And in Matthew chapter 9, verses 36 to 38, on another occasion, you find a similar statement there where He talks about sending out laborers. I'm reminded of Paul in 1 Corinthians 3, verses 5 through 9, where he talks about how I planted, Apollos watered, but God gives the increase. We need to realize that we may just plant a seed and somebody else may reach them later on. We need to be praying for the gospel to have free course, not just with us, but with others as well. Here's an example of this. Let me ask you. Do you ever pray for the preachers that we support? Do you know the preachers that we support? Galen Evans in Santa Paula, and I just have to tell you this, Galen has written a letter that congregation has now assumed all of his support. So I believe it's effective in the next month or so. He will no longer need to be supported by us. We ought to be rejoicing that there's a congregation that doesn't need the outside support anymore. But we can pray for him. My dad in Ozark, Arkansas. Joshua in Wildersville, Tennessee. Jack Critchfield in New Madrid, Missouri. James Hamilton, Denton, Arkansas. Bob Dotson in Hemet. Dennis Scroggin in Bend, Texas. Joe Price, Bellingham, Washington. Stephen Saunders, Macon, Missouri. Danny Gardner, Springdale, Arkansas. Brian Yeager, El Paso, Texas. Richard Soto, Texas, McAllen, Texas. And at times he goes into Mexico and teaches. We're not done. Brian Haynes, Hillsboro, Oregon. Don Brady, Hodgensville, Kentucky. Brandon Hathaway, Brewston, Tennessee. You'll see him next week. Daniel Duvall, Waipahu, Hawaii. In addition to the local support that is provided here. That's what, about eight states. We're supporting preachers all over this country because we've been blessed with that opportunity. But we also need to support them with our prayers. Because as Paul said in the book of Philippians, we are partaking with them in their work. So we can pray for that. There's plenty of things that we can pray for. We can pray for favorable political conditions. The condition we are in is never, ever an excuse to not teach others. That's one thing I want us to understand. Paul was not preaching in the most accepting of environments, or else he wouldn't have been treated the way he was. But we are clearly told in Scriptures that we should be praying for the best of circumstances. In 1 Timothy chapter 2, you read there, 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 and 2, Paul says, I exhort first of all that supplications, prayers, intercessions, giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings and all who are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and reverence. We pray for our leaders so that we can lead a quiet and peaceable life. That means be able to worship God without fear of persecutions. Be able to openly proclaim that we believe in God. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verses 1 through 3. Paul there, he says, "Finally, brethren, pray for us that the word of the Lord may run swiftly and be glorified, just as it is with you, and that we may be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men, for not all have faith." Pray to God that we'll be delivered from the ungodly leaders and from ungodly men and wicked men who are around us. Pray for deliverance from them so that the gospel can be spread. And along with that, pray for the removal of obstacles. And what I think about when I see that is realizing who Satan is. Be aware of the devices of Satan. 2 Corinthians 2, verse number 11. Realize that we need to resist the devil and he will flee from us. James 4, and verse number 17. Realize that he walks about like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. 1 Peter 5, verses 8 and 9. Be aware of the devil. And pray to God to help us to be aware of the devil. And realize that he's going to put obstacles in our way. And when we face those obstacles, pray about it. You know, I think about Peter. Jesus comes to Peter and says, "Satan is going to sift you as wheat. You're going to deny me." But then Jesus says, "But I have prayed for you. And when you come through it..." Now, I know that Jesus can say that. But you have the idea that He prayed for somebody that was going to be dealing with an obstacle. In reaching the lost, we need to pray for the removal of obstacles. And then we need to pray for those that we are trying to reach. In Romans chapter 10, and in verse number 1, Paul says, "Brethren, my heart's desire and prayers to God for Israel is that they may be saved." Paul wanted Israel to be saved, and so he prayed for Israel. We're told in 1 Timothy 2:1, we already read it, that prayers be offered for all men everywhere. And that includes your enemies. Jesus in Matthew 5:44-46 said, "Pray for your enemies. Pray for those who persecute you, spitefully use you." Why? You know the best way to defeat an enemy? Make it so he's not your enemy anymore. Can you think of an example of that in Scripture? I want you to think about this. In Acts chapter 7, and in verse number 60, you have at the conclusion of Stephen preaching a scathing rebuke against the religious leaders because of their hypocrisy and their corruption. They stoned Stephen to death. And as Stephen is being stoned to death, he looks up and he sees the Lord and he says, "Do not charge them with this." Even as he's dying, he's praying for the ones that were persecuting him. Now let me ask you, was there any effect in that? Who was converted after the death of Stephen? Saul, later named Paul. He was there when Stephen was praying that prayer. And look at who Paul is. Praying for your enemies. Praying for those that you're trying to reach. What about Jesus on the cross? "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." I don't know about you, but I need Jesus to forgive me. So we need to pray as we're trying to reach the lost. And in doing this, be specific. Be specific. And here comes your practical application as we've been talking about today. You know, if there is somebody that you want to reach, name them. And this goes back to your private prayers. I'm talking a little bit about that right there. Name them. If there are people that you are interested in trying to reach, name them before God. And that will put them in your mind. Pray for an opportunity to teach whoever that one individual is. Name them as you go to God in prayer. Pray that they will have an open heart and an open mind. Pray that you will have wisdom and boldness and courage in talking to them. Pray for the opportunity to teach them. Pray for the removal of whatever obstacles stand in your way of trying to reach that person. You might want to do more than one at a time, too. You know, choose a list of four or five and pray for them individually. Finally, pray for the church. Pray that she will be receptive to the lost. Pray that she prepares and willing to prepare in areas where she is lacking. Pray for specific areas where the church is involved, such as gospel meetings. You know, we have one coming up. Are we praying for the success of this effort next week? I'll tell you right now that a godly congregation is crucial to establishing and strengthening the lost, that those who are young in the faith, those that are converted, they need to have somewhere to go. And they need to have brethren, and they need to have a congregation that will accept them and that will teach them and that will build them up and that will strengthen them. Pray for the church, that the church will be receptive to welcoming the lost. That doesn't always happen. There are places where that does not happen. Paul was constantly praying for other congregations. Just about every letter that he writes, he talks about how he prayed for them and he wanted them to pray for him. So we need to be praying for our churches. And there you have some examples of prayer as it's associated with evangelism. As you can see, there's a lot to pray about. Two real quick observations as we wrap this up. Number one, prayer is not an excuse for you to not do your part. You got to work. You do your part, let God take care of the rest, but you need to do your part. And number two, realize that no matter how much you pray, not everybody's going to respond. Not everybody responded to Jesus. Not everybody responded to Paul. Not everybody's going to respond to you. The majority may reject you. But you just keep praying and don't give up. Pray about it anyways. And let God give the increase. So there you have it. Am I praying for the lost the way that they ought to? Lesson's yours.